something that I remember when we were very young. I must have been 10, 11 years old. My dad had three buddies. I vaguely remember, but once a week they used to get together, four of them. And we were never allowed to stand by or watch the game. We weren't allowed to watch. They were presumably gambling or whatever they were doing, but no children were allowed to watch. But he had his buddies, you know how the boys get together for a poker game once a week and that. But we were never allowed to stand by or go anywhere near the room or where they were playing. Maybe that's the reason I never took cards. We used to play whist. We used to get together. Talk about Depression days. The thing what they used to get together was even before we were married. You get a gang together on a Saturday night. During the winter, of course, we'd go snowshoeing, tobogganing, hiking, and come back to somebody's house and crank up the gramophone, and you'd be served hot dogs and a drink, and have a dance in Morrison's dance, stuff like that. Then later, even after we were married, we're still in the post-depression days in the early 30s. We had quite a circle of friends. We'd get together Saturday nights and game of whist or little gin rummy. Well, my family, it so happened, Lila and Lil and Dave and Joe Chess and Charlie, you know, it was Saturday night. Was the night they looked forward. They always used to get together, and they'd start the whist game, you know, for 10 cents was all they'd play for. That was a stake of 10 cents. And, you know, they could sit till 3-4 o'clock in the morning, because next morning was Sunday. Nobody cared, you see, and they just went on and on and on and on. And now the whole family, they're all card players. But as I say, it's strictly mostly whist, which they've never gotten. Graduated into bridges people have today, which I think is more or less an obsession with most people. And I know Mom goes to bed many a night when she's up playing bridge, and I could tell that when she's had a good night, she's quite very excited about how well she played, you see, and you can feel it, you know, she's going through her mind and that how well they played. And then when she had a very poor night, she goes to bed, she's frustrated, and then she goes over in the mind what mistakes she had made and, you know, what she could have done otherwise. So either way, you're either stimulated or frustrated if you play well or don't play well. And I can see that it takes a lot out of her, but she enjoys it, and she studies and reads up on it, and she admits herself the more she reads, the less she knows, the less she remembers, that is.
There's two stories I tell about curling. I was very familiar with a non-Jewish girl, Mary Nerb, and she and her dad were going to watch a curling finals. They took me along, and I didn't know the first thing about curling, and we sat up there and we watched and watched and watched. Eventually I said to her, my voice, as you know, carries, I says, Marion, when are they going to stop sweeping the ice and start curling? And that was at a championship game. So that was my first introduction to curling. My second introduction to curling is when we started to curl, Marion Smith and myself were picked on this team. He had us all throw a rock, you see, and then he placed us, and he placed me third. And not knowing anything about curling, and of course all of us inclining to have a chip on our shoulders, says, sure, because I'm Jewish, he puts me third. Not realizing the third was the best spot on the rink, you see. But after that, I made up my mind never to have a chip on my shoulder to give the people the benefit of the doubt. So I curled through that. I don't think I curled. Then that was that. I curled those. And I, then Evelyn came along to St. John's Tech, and she started to curl too. And I remember once they came to take Evelyn to curl in a city bond spiel, but Evelyn was busy at the university, and I went on that. So I curled instead, and I remember we won prizes. But then through my nursing, I didn't curl. And then I didn't curl for quite a while until they started the Jewish Curling Club. And they asked me if I'd come back and curl, if I'd come and curl. And they wanted me to skip because they didn't have too many Jewish girls who knew anything about curling. I guess that's just about when you were born. So then I said, oh, I don't know enough about curling to skip. And then I thought to myself, but they know less than I do. They won't know if I'm skipping right or skipping wrong, so I might as well skip. So I skipped. So I curled up until a couple of years ago. And then when I started work, and I didn't know which days I was working, which day I wasn't working, so I gave it up. I don't think I have any particular great moments. I was once in a play, and I pantomimed a play, and Kusevitsky, do you remember our Cantor Kusevitsky? Do you remember him? He was the first cantor we had at the Rosh Bina. He was this big Kusevitsky, one of the brothers, but he was a pet. Oh, I was fond of him. I guess I liked him because he called me the same endearing term that Mother used to call me when she was in a good mood. She'd say, Rivulet. So long since I heard that name, how I was called. And he used the same endearing terms. I guess maybe that's from, but he was very nice. And he saw me in this play, and he says, gee, he says, if you were in England, they'd have picked you up so quickly. He thought I did very well. In fact, I'll never forget how disappointed I was at school when they were picking for dramatics. They didn't pick me. Apparently, I haven't a good voice. I have too high pitch voice. So the only way I managed to get into any of the plays at school, if they needed dancing or anything, so I got in through dancing. But I always wanted to do dramatics.
I found traveling relaxing. When you were a kid, all that traveling, I was very happy about that because we saw a lot of the country. Remember, we used to cover almost every, if it hadn't been for you being with us, we wouldn't have seen half the things, because every time there was a road sign, historic point, 6 miles away, we'd take the historic point. Maybe there was just a little bit of a creek there, or maybe just a statue of LeBron Andre or somebody, or Louis Riel. And yet we'd get off the main highway, we'd go and see what was on. Well, the past couple of years, ever since you left home, we haven't once taken a trip by car. Another thing, when we were traveling with Mark and Acey, the same thing. Mark and Acey were very inquisitive, you know, and we'd get off the highway and see a lot of extra.
I've enjoyed every trip I took, and I couldn't tell you anything about any of them. You know, I think you once made the statement that they're lost on me because I don't remember the names of places or this, that. But I say I enjoyed as I do it. So if I can't remember where I was,